I'm tired, y'all. You know, I was thinking about this in the worship. By the way, for on the tape so I'll know where I'm at, today's message is called True Direction. But I was thinking in the worship about breaking the box, and maybe I'll talk about that next time I speak. Breaking your box, breaking yourself, and pouring yourself out as a fragrant offering. You know, I do that during the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't take any time for myself or my family. I break myself and I pour it all out to God on the altar for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the brethren, for the outpouring of God's Spirit, for the Word and all the things that go on. So after the feast, I'm just tired. We used to have more things going on at Thanksgiving, but we kind of quit because Thanksgiving is the only time I get to spend with Lanice and my daughters. So I just can't give it up. It's the only time I get. But anyway, think about breaking yourself and pouring yourself out as a fragrant offering to God in His service. Because there's something special in there. But that's not today's message, so we'll get on point. We just had a tremendous Feast of Tabernacles. Come on, somebody. I know it's just been a little over a month ago. Was it the best you've ever been to?
Yes.
Theme of next year's feast is change your viewpoint. Ooh. Change your viewpoint. It's time for us to take a kingdom viewpoint.
All right.
It's too easy to be swayed by the things we're involved in the world and take a worldly viewpoint on every aspect of our life. But it's time for us in the last days now to change our viewpoint to a kingdom viewpoint, because that kingdom just is not that far off. Suppose rescue is next Shavuot. Would you be prepared to go if the rescue is next Shavuot? Boy, that changed life, and it got quiet in here then, huh? If it's next Shavuot, a lot of folks is just going to be still coming to church here, right? Not knowing what else to do. Wow. That's heavy. What if it happens while we're in Israel? Yeah. If you get taken into rescue, it'd be real nice. If you got left behind, it'd be a lonely ride home. We had a good time with Richard Reeves. We got him scheduled to come back in February and March so we can do this thing again and we can press on. Was it not good to have 45 new people sitting in the room to hear the truth of God? Come on, it don't matter if they come to church or not. 45 people, unassociated with Hungry Hearts Ministries, sat in that room and heard the truth.
Woo!
Come on now, that's shouting ground.
Thank you, Lord.
And we had 30-plus people in Corinth, unassociated with Hungry Hearts, come in that room and hear the truth. And we had 19 people in Murfreesboro, unassociated with Hungry Hearts, come in and hear the truth.
Hallelujah.
Now what they do with it, it's up to them. And we, of course, I was so sneaky, you know, I'm a sneaky pastor. I told Nathan to give everybody a booklet. Nobody's refusing Brother Nathan, right? Deacon Clifford comes with the materials, they just, yes, thank you. I didn't send any of us with the materials. They always tell us no. But I sent Deacon Clifford because I know nobody refused to take it home. Now, they have the information, and it tells where we're located, and it tells what time our service is. So whether or not they show is up to them because they have the information.
Yes, that's true.
Now, how often do you get 45 people in a room to present the truth by somebody else with some credibility? I mean, that's the whole purpose of showing the archaeology, is to establish his credentials to tell them what comes next.
Yes. Amen.
Now, that was awesome. And we're going to do it again in March here in Jackson. But now is the time to refocus our lives on true direction. You know, it's not going to be that long before Passover. And after Passover is Pentecost. And after Pentecost is summertime. And then we're back in the feast. And so the best thing we can do for this lull, as opposed to getting post-feast blues, which a lot of people get, is to just go ahead and get back down to basics. Get down to the basic daily discipline that you need to impose in your life so that you can have those God encounters next fall that you want. You know, this whole thing is a continual cyclical process. That's why I like them old-timey round clocks, because they show you the cyclical nature of time. Time is not linear. When you get on the little digital clocks, you lose that cyclical nature of time. The round clocks are ideal because just like the year goes around and comes around, hey, look, of course it's a circle, right? Because the planet revolves around the sun, so obviously it's a circle. So we need to refocus at this time of year on the basics. We need to get down to those same things. I was thinking about a sportscaster the last time Tennessee won the national championship. Can't remember that guy's name, but it was his last game. Matter of fact, he had retired and he came back to announce the Tennessee championship and then went back in retirement. He had been announcing college football forever. And he made this quote from General Robert Nyland: touchdowns follow blocking like the daylight follows the dawn. It's simple. If you want the good things, you got to get back to the basics. You get back to the basics. You get back to that daily Bible study. You get back to that daily time in prayer. You get back to that weekly worship at home. You get back to running that daily program of I'm in my word. I'm on my face in prayer. I'm involved in the ministry. I'm involved in serving. I'm involved in praying for the people in the church. I'm involved in praying for the ministry needs. Because getting back to that basic, I know it sounds trite. I know it sounds boring, but it's not. When you get yourself involved in the work of God, your life takes on a brand new excitement I can't even begin to explain. Good things start happening in your life. You know, you're in the church of the living God. You don't get the good things you want by spending all your time and attention trying to get them. I said all. I didn't say you don't do your due diligence. You got to go to work. You got to bank your money. You got to budget your money. You got to do the things you got to do. But your success or failure is not going to be determined on those things. Your success or failure is going to be determined on how much of your heart's in the work of God. You know, we're not the average church. We're not based on the same things everybody else is based on. And it would have been easy enough to have picked any one of the three things and ran with it. And that would have been okay. We're Torah observant, spirit-filled with Hebrew roots. That's heavy. If we wanted a merely Torah observant church, we could have stayed in the kind of churches we came out of, and we would have already long ago outgrown this hall, and we could have had 200 people in the church if we gave them what they wanted and just stuck to living the laws of God. We could have had a big church. Might be boring, but it'd be big. Sandy knows. There was a lot of people wanted us to do that. And then we stumbled across Perry Stone. And that messed all of that up. If we wanted a spirit-filled church only, we probably could have had a 1,000-member church by now. If we were willing to compromise on God's laws and commandments and just go with the spirit-filled stuff, working out your salvation in the Spirit of God and being proficient in the gifts. Or if we wanted to have a messianic congregation, believe me, I did. I did count the cost of what it would have costed me to go to the classes online to become a messianic rabbi. It was well within my means to afford it, and I could have had the sheepskin on the wall and the certification and all of the credibility in the eyes of the people, and I could make myself about $50,000 to $65,000 a year as a messianic rabbi and been complaining like the rest of them that I wasn't making $150,000 as a regular Jewish rabbi. We didn't go any of those ways. We didn't go any of those ways. We combined them all. Any one of those ways makes your life difficult. You don't see messianic. Look, how many of y'all have driven out there on Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, and seen the Jewish temple, Temple Israel? It's got a 5-story community center. It's huge. It's huge. How many of y'all have been to Brit Hadashah in the little tiny house they meet in? It's very small. Yeah. So a messianic temple would be a little bigger, than maybe double what we have, maybe triple what we have at its peak. But the regular Jewish temple down the street's got several thousand members. You see, any one of these things would limit the pool of people that we would be involved in. You combine any two of these things and nobody wants to talk to you anymore. I'm serious. I'm serious. You can, I don't care if you combine Spirit and Torah, or you combine Torah and Messianic, or Messianic and Spirit. I don't care what combination you choose out of the three. You combine any two of them, and your chances of starting a church are over. Over! None. Not coming back. Yet we're doing all three.
Amen.
Look around the room and see how precious your fellow believers are. Precious. Precious. There aren't many people that are going to do this. There aren't many people that are going to listen to you when you talk to them about doing this threefold combination. But what does God say in the Proverbs? A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
All of these things are worthy, but we don't engage in this trifold combination just for the sake of doing it. We do it for one reason and one reason only. You know, I've had a lot of time to think. God said full speed ahead, and we have a lot of things that we have to develop and get out quickly into the public domain. And so that makes me stop and think about what's important. What is first important? Not second important. What is first important? What is the most important thing we can convey about Hungry Hearts Ministries or any one of the Hungry Hearts churches to the world at large? And it always comes back to this. God is real. God is real. God is not dead. God is not an idol that cannot speak and cannot talk and cannot walk and cannot perform. God is a real, sentient, divine being, all-powerful, almighty, everywhere.
Come on.
We don't do this for the fun of it, even though it is fun. We do it so that we can prepare a people to encounter the true and living God. That's the only reason to do this. Because let me tell you, there are more obstacles to doing what we're doing in the way we're doing it than you can imagine. There are more roadblocks. There are more things that stop people. There are more mental strongholds that have to be torn down to do what we're doing. The only thing that makes it worth it is the fact that Yeshua shows up in the service. You know, these things all complement each other, and each of them builds on the others when you do them properly. When you're using the Hebrew worship tools, it builds on your Torah observance, and it builds on the move of God's Spirit. But our purpose is to prepare you to encounter the living God. In the course of this ministry, we have taken over one dozen in and have stood before God Himself. Over a dozen. We've taken over three dozen in on the sea of glass, and they've been counted as worshipers in heaven at God's temple. That's worth doing. That is not an easy task. That takes a lot of work. And I'm sorry to say that not all of them stayed with us. It encounters a lot more opposition, and it requires a much more disciplined walk in the law of God, and it requires a lot more focus in the Holy Spirit. It also requires personal worship. John chapter 16. I was doing my Bible reading. You know, it's hard for me to have the kind of discipline you guys can have, because I have to do so many messages and God takes me so many places. It's hard for me to just do my daily reading in the Bible straight through the way I used to do and the way I built my Bible knowledge. I would start every year after the Feast of Tabernacles, and I would read it all the way through by the Feast of Tabernacles, and then when I got back to the Feast, I'd start all over again Genesis and just all the way to the end. But now, you know, preparing so many messages and taking up so much time in writing articles and messages, it's hard for me to maintain that. John 16, verse 22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. So the Lord is going to die and He's telling them, you're not going to see me and you're going to grieve. But then I'm going to show up and you're going to see me face to face and then you will rejoice and no one's going to be able to take that joy away. There's nothing in this life, in a sack of flesh, like seeing Yeshua Messiah face to face in the Spirit of God. I can't imagine any other reason that you would want to be Holy Ghost baptized and pray in tongues except to be able to see Him. But it changes everything. It changes everything in your life. That's why it's so important to walk this way of life. You know, I know I talk about the law all the time. My kids don't want to hear me anymore. I'm a broken record to them. But there's a reason why I'm telling you that is because your walk has to come to a particular level so that the Spirit of God in you will open those spiritual eyes and you can look at Him.
Yes.
He's real.
Yes.
You've got to experience Him. That's the most essential thing you'll ever learn from me in my whole lifetime of teaching and your time in Hungry Hearts. You must experience the living God because it changes everything. Look at the next part of first part of verse 23. In that day, the day you see the Lord, from that time on, it's all going to be different. Nothing of the earthly is going to matter to you. All of the things that consume your life to this point are going to change in an instant. And you're never going to be the same. And you're never going to be able to go back to the person you were and do the kind of things you're doing. Look, I'm not saying your sin's going to magically evaporate. I got news for you. You planted every one of them and you're going to root every one of them out by yourself. That's part. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't get that. He told Adam that the ground is going to bring forth thorns and thistles and you're going to work and bring forth your food from the sweat of your brow. Man, in the Spirit of God, I am telling you straight up that all the sin you plow and plant in your life, you're going to pull them out by yourself because that's your punishment for putting them. That's why another time I told you, embrace your humanity. Embrace your humanity because it's the key to getting out. You've got to embrace the fact, I put the junk in here, I got to clean it up. The Lord, He ain't going to change your diaper for you. He's not going to change your diaper for you. When you mess in your own nest, guess who cleans it up? When you get to be a certain age and you do stuff like that, your mama don't go clean up behind. Maybe some of y'all's did, but my mama slapped me in the head and said, go clean it yourself, boy. I don't know what y'all's mama was like. My mama didn't clean up after me after a certain point. She expected me to get my butt up and get it done. And hey, I will suffer for having done it in addition to having to clean it up. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. You see, there's a time when your prayer life is gimme, gimme, gimme because my name is Jimmy. There's a time in your life, and look, I'm not saying don't make your request known to God with all prayer and supplication because that's a godly thing to do. But there's a time when your prayer list ain't nothing but a bunch of honeydews.
Amen.
There's a time when all you want is stuff. When all you want is things. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Why? Because you just want to be blessed. Gimme, 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 because my name is Jimmy. All you want to do is God, give me this. God, give me that. God, gimme, gimme. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. He ain't step and fetch it. He's not Aladdin's, you know, the genie in the bottle where you rub the thing and say, okay, God, poof, what do you want? Poof, what do you want? Poof, what do you want? No, that's not what God is all about. God is working out a purpose down here below in our lives and in our character. And there's a point when you see His face and you realize, oh, I need to shut up. I need to shut up. This is not one of those be still and know the Lord is God sermons. This is one of those when you encounter and experience God, there's a change that takes place in your life. You're not asking God what you want Him to do for you anymore. You're asking God what you can do for Him. You know, you come to a place where you're not worried about what He's going to do for you because you realize whatever He sends your way is exactly what you need. I don't have to ask for a mortgage. I don't have to ask for a car. I don't have to ask for this or that or yonder. All I got to do is show up and, Lord, what do you want today? See, well, after you see Him, you don't want Him serving you. After you see Him, you want to serve Him. After you see Him, it's what can I do for you? After you see Him, it's what talent did you place in me and how can I put it in your service? What did you give me to do, Lord? Have I got talented hands can make things for you? Have I got a talented mind that can create things for you? Have I got a talented gift of writing or of film or of publications or of speaking the word or of preaching or of praying? It ain't a matter of praying for myself anymore. I'm praying for other people because I've seen Him, and they haven't. Y'all didn't get that. It's hard for me to pray for every single sickness and illness that everybody has. I do it, but it's hard. Why? Because they haven't seen him yet. They haven't seen him yet. What's the more important thing that they need? They get well, they'll go right out and do the same thing over again. They get well, they'll go out and do the same thing over again. Forget about dietary laws. They're not eating right with the dietary laws. They're not getting the exercise they need. They're not taking care of their body. They're doing all this kind of junk. It's going to be one after another. Gimme, 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 because my... What they need, what they have to have, is an encounter with the living God. That's what I get excited to pray for. That's what I get excited to jump and shout and holler in my office about, is to pray for people to have that encounter with the living God. Because once they've seen him, they'll start changing all manner of things in their life. Why? Why would they make all those changes in their life? Because when they want to serve him, they realize that they need their health. After they see him and want to serve him, they realize they need their mind. After they see him and want to serve him, they realize I have need of taking care of my finance because my finance needs to be on the line for Jesus. I'm fully invested. I'm fully invested in this work. That means everything I own is put into play for the work of God on a regular basis. How about my car? Yeah. I don't get any tithe money for gasoline or stuff. No. All the travel money, that comes out of my pocket. My car is on the line for miles to go places and spread this. My truck is used to haul stuff. Why? For the gospel, because we have meetings and we have need. Everything I own is fully invested in this. Why? Because I've seen him multiple times. I can't even count them for you anymore. I've lost track of them. Why me? I'll never be able to explain why me. I would never have chosen me. If I was God, I would be the last person on earth I would ever have chosen. Are you kidding? Schultz? And yet he tells me I'm the perfect man for the job because my head is hard enough to withstand the Laodicean attitude. There's nothing good in that. You can't even make good come out of that. My head is hard enough for the Laodicean attitude. I mean, there's nothing that you can make good out of that statement. On anybody's part, mine or anybody else's. I know one thing, I've been hit with everything the devil's got to hit me with, and I refuse to cave in. I refuse to give in. Torah observant, spirit-filled, with Hebrew roots, so that people can encounter God. And people have encountered God. We've had a lot of people encounter God. We had a person at the Feast of Tabernacles that saw a child who had died as an infant. And somebody else who didn't know this person from Adam walked up and said, I saw you dancing with a little child up there that could not possibly have known this woman. Y'all will get that in a minute. A woman got to reconnect with a child she lost as an infant, and somebody else who doesn't even know her or know that she had it saw it take place in the spirit. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. How about the time we couldn't find the seat, the DVDs, brother, and Lawn Car told us where they were? Yeah. Never been to my house. Yeah. Oh, you looked them up on that shelf behind the thing over there. Yeah.
Never been in there,
no. Yeah, exactly. You can't make this stuff up. People are having real encounters. How many of y'all talked to Brother James about his encounter 2 years ago? How many? How many of y'all remember the great thing that happened with Dan Alexander? Wow. When he was lifted up off the ground. Come on, we have pictures of it. Or at least we did have pictures of it. No one sent me a copy, I would have preserved it. James Longcar saw it all from the hotel room. I thought he walked in and saw it. Oh, no. No, we got talking to you last January. He was babysitting the children in the hotel room, zoned out in the Spirit of God, and saw everything that was happening to Dan in the room while it was happening in real time. You can't make this stuff up. Remember the kids praying for each other, falling out in the Holy Spirit?
Oh, man.
Huh? Remember when they were praying for Skylar? Well, you know, I just wanted some pictures because my camera takes better dark pictures than it does light pictures, actually. And I wanted some pictures. And I was just wandering around, you know, to get some pictures. I wasn't really motivated or moved in the spirit for anything. But I went to take a picture of Skylar, and, you know, it does this little focus thing. It's kind of slow. And then it has a little infrared shot. And then it takes the picture. When it did it, I saw something really big and red. And I thought, oh, that's, I didn't think nothing of it. So I did it again because I wanted more than one picture. Then I saw it clearly. There was a red flame this tall coming off of Skylar Gandy's back while they prayed for him. A clear flame. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, wow, this guy's drunk off in the Holy Ghost somewhere. And I had to pull him out of a stupor. You got to see this, brother. You got to see this.
Because I saw it, and it was a flame shooting out of his back. You better believe that the day is long and real. It's a
sad. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. You can't make this stuff up. Now, it did not show up in the pictures, but in the infrared focus shot there. In the dark, it was a four-foot flame coming off of Skylar. It was a tongue of fire coming off of Skylar's back when he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't make this stuff up. Hey, see? You can't make this stuff up, y'all. That's why we do it. We do it to get you in. People say, oh, you're putting pressure on me. No, I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm trying to show you the way is open. The way is open. Grab a hold of what we're teaching and move on it because it will take you where you want to go. God's not a respecter of persons. Look, I mean, you ought to have this figured out by now. If he'd do it for me, he'd do it for anybody. See, I haven't come up here and given you my full testimony. If you knew what a slug I'd been, you'd still be in shock and awe that he did it for me at all. But he did it for me just like he did it for the Apostle Paul to show you that none of you will be exempt. If you follow the course, you will encounter God. If you follow the course, you will encounter the actual true and living Creator God that formed you in your mother's womb and put the spirit of man inside of you. I don't know about you, but that's as exciting as it gets for me. Wow. That's as exciting as it gets for me. You will know that this word is true. You won't have to have Richard Reeves show you that Noah's Ark's on the mountain where the God said it is, or that the Red Sea crossing is there where God said it is, or that the mountain is burned black the way God said it is, or that all of the things, Solomon Gomorrah's burned like God said it is. You won't have to because you'll have seen him with your own eyes and heard him with your own ears and touched him with your own flesh, and you will know that though he died for you, yet he lives. You will be an eyewitness of his resurrection and not following some cleverly devised myth. This stuff ain't a myth. It's the realest thing there is.
Yes.
And when you get your God encounter, that is the ultimate proof. Because let me tell you, once you've encountered Jesus, no one's going to talk you out of it. No one's going to say, well, you know, that was a flashback from your old days. No, it wasn't. Yeah, well, you know, maybe you were just dreaming that. No, I wasn't. Hey, maybe that, you know, somebody touched you and they just walked away. No, they weren't. How about when the Lord rubbed Miss Lanisa's arm? I mean, come on. No one can take these things away from you. No one can take them away from you. They can try to tell you it was a lie. They can try to tell you it was wrong. But you will know, always know. No, that was real. That happened to me. But you got to follow his instructions. And they're in the Torah. The rules for human conduct in the Torah. Look, I read an article over the summer. And I know I referenced it back then, but there was a woman who wrote in an article that her husband contracted AIDS from a blood transfusion back before they knew they had to screen the blood. Come on, some of y'all old enough to remember all that, right? You remember Mr. Robinson, the ABC News anchor, the first man to die of AIDS in the United States? Yeah, I remember. I remember. Okay, this man was Jewish. This man had HIV and was positive for 10 years before it was discovered when he got AIDS. And come on, some of us remember that unless you were trying to prevent a baby, you didn't have protected sex because that didn't exist. This woman did not contract the HIV AIDS virus because her husband was circumcised. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You follow the rules for human conduct and you don't go through the stuff that the rest of them go through because God's law is to free you from the trouble, not to imprison you. Freedom under God's law. But you got to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the baptism, the infilling, until it comes out of you. You've got to have the well of the Spirit opened in you so that it's coming out of you. Why is that so important? Because it gives you closer and more powerful contact with God. People that aren't Spirit-filled don't talk about encountering God. People that aren't Spirit-filled don't talk about hearing God talk to them. Come on, somebody. Just the people who are Spirit-filled say, the Lord spoke to me, the Lord said this, the Lord did that. It's not the people who aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost that say that. They're always talking about God far off away somewhere in outer space. God's in your heart if you have the Holy Spirit. The problem is we get him locked up in a little box, and we don't want him getting out. We got to take the lock off the box and take the lid off. Don't even close it. Just take the lid completely off the box. Let God do what he wants in your life. What have you got to lose? Come on, what have you actually got to lose? If God completely ran your life, what would you be deficient in that you don't have? Might have a whole lot more stuff than you got now. Isaiah chapter 6. God is real. You know, I was watching the Black Friday commercials over Halloween, Thanksgiving. and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking full speed ahead. How do I preach the gospel? How do I reach these people? I mean, they're gone. The people in the world. I mean, I'm watching what brings them out of the house at dark 30 in the morning to stand in line to go shopping, and I'm thinking, that's such a level of godlessness, I don't even know how to talk about God to these people. I was just sitting there watching them all weekend long thinking, wow, how do we even make a connection with these people? I don't know. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah, seeing the Lord God on the throne, in the temple, and he proceeds with a gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy prayer. Well, Lord, I need this and I need that. And Aunt Sue, she's got this problem. And Uncle Joe, he's got that problem. And Billy Bob around the corner's third cousin's got this problem. And I need a new car because mine's falling apart. Is that what he starts talking? He's right there. He's right there. How do you read the passage and not visualize in your mind the Lord God of Israel on the throne in front? Seraphs brought a coal, purged his mouth. Come on, think about it for a minute. Put yourself in the position. Don't read it like a fable. Read it like it's real and bring it home. Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. See, when you've seen God, you're not asking for stuff anymore. You know what Jesus said? After you see me, you won't ask me for anything? Not things, not stuff. Now look, I'm not trying to put down intercessory prayer at all. It's vital. It's necessary. It's a very important part. We have to have intercessors who will pray for these people because when they get answers to prayer, that leads them to Christ. Come on. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to diminish it at all. I'm trying to lift your focus to the place where you realize that the most important thing you need in your life is an encounter with this God right here, because it's going to change everything in your life. You won't be asking for yourself anymore. You'll be asking for everybody else that needs. If you're an intercessor, you'll be praying for others. You won't be praying for yourself. Why? It doesn't matter. Why does it not matter? Because you realize that if God gave you the gift, the call, and the anointing to be an intercessory prayer, then he's already equipped you with whatever you need to do the job. It's just, Lord, let me get on it. If he's equipped you to write, you'll realize he's already given you the anointing and the provision. You just got to get in your word to get your head straight, get your doctrine sound, so you can get at that computer and start cranking out the writing. If he's given you the ability to come in here and serve and organize and set up and take down, you'll realize he has given you the anointing and the provision to get down here on time, to get it set up, to get it laid out, and to get it put back away where it goes, where anybody else can see it and know what's going on. Not just all thrown in the thing like a tornado hit it. Whatever your calling and anointing is, God has provisioned and anointed you for that job. Yeah. Once you've seen Him, you won't be asking for instructions anymore. On it. Man your battle stations. Full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. Isaiah's not. Look at him. Here I am. Send me. I don't know what your sending is, but everybody ought to be saying it today. Here I am. Send me. Send me. Your whole life moves away from the things that we and I want to searching through your entire experience to change to what He wants. We go from asking for blessing to sorting out our life so we can say and do the things that bless Him. You know, I used to keep Torah to be blessed. Now I keep Torah to glorify Him. The life that glorifies God. I used to pray in the Spirit to help me work out things so I could be blessed. Now I do it so that I can bring glory to His kingdom. How does Bev say it all the time? The intent of the heart? The intent of the heart? So much in church, in religious circles, is about gratifying the desires of the people. And that's why we've been encouraged so many times to drop something, one thing or another, that makes people unhappy.
That's right.
We had a family came in here that left. Nice family. Loved them to death. They were awesome people because we had an altar service and somebody fell in the Spirit and they left. There would be like, what, the fourth or fifth one to do that? Oh, why don't you just get rid of that? Why don't you just get rid of that? And then people won't be leaving. Those were nice families. We wanted to keep those. But you could say it over keeping God's Sabbath. You could say it over keeping the holy days. You could definitely say it over second tithing. Oh, man, we probably lost a ton of people over second tithing. And then we lose them over falling out of the Spirit and praying in tongues. We lose them because we're too Jewish. We've lost them for every reason under heaven. But the point is there's no amount of compromising that's going to solve the problem. The problem isn't solved by compromising the things God has given us to teach. The problem is that these people did not stay long enough to grab a hold of their need to encounter the living God. Because once you encounter the living God, then you understand that you can't compromise on the Sabbath. You can't compromise on praying in tongues and the altar service where people fall in the Spirit. You can't compromise on that. I mean, Saul, way back, Saul fell out on his back and prayed in tongues in the Old Testament. So if it's okay for Saul, how come it's not okay for us? Even Saul. They even said it. As Kelly pointed out, it's even that way in the Bible. It says, it's not even Saul among the prophets. It's like this guy was like Schultz. It's like, even Schultz.
Even he got it.
Even he got it. Right? So, I mean, even if Saul can have it, what's the problem with us having it? They overlooked that in the Old Testament. They're falling out and praying in tongues. Oh. Why do you think God gave tongues on the book in the book of Acts? He gave tongues in the book of Acts so that every Israelite in that audience in Jerusalem would make the connection back to Moses and the 72 elders of Israel because that's the last time it happened en masse.
Wow.
Funny. Do you remember when that was? The giving of the Holy Spirit with them praying in tongues in the camp? Do you remember when that was? That was roughly 2 weeks prior to Pentecost because it was when God gave the manna to reset the Sabbath day.
Hallelujah.
Hmm. He gave them tongues. Think about this now. He gave them tongues so that they would be able to keep the Sabbath. He gave them tongues so they could keep the Sabbath. Because you've got to have the Holy Spirit in you to that level to be able to keep it. Right? Because you've got to keep it holy. You can't keep it holy if you're not Holy Ghost baptized. You got to keep it holy. See, the Sabbath breaks down to rules. Do here, do there, don't here, do and don't and this and that. It's just all endless number of rules. Everybody falls to that unless they're Holy Ghost baptized. And then they understand it's a spiritual thing to keep the Sabbath. Doesn't mean you go to work on it, but you can't keep it holy if you're off of work unless you're in the Spirit on the Sabbath day. Because it's got to be holy. How did Lenise say it at Atonement? You say the most holy is in the most holy place. Holy, 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 holy. The most holies are set in the most holy. You can't do that if you're not spirit-filled. It always comes back down to rules. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We, having encountered the living God. Come on, how many of y'all have encountered it? A lot of y'all that haven't have been real close a bunch of times. So it's not like that you were just sitting there like a bump on a log. I mean, those of you that have not seen Jesus face to face have been so close to an encounter, you know, you just got to persevere and stay with it. Persevere and stay with it. I didn't encounter him the first time I wanted him. I didn't encounter him the second or third time I wanted him. I had to press in. Come on, somebody. I had to press in. You know why I had to press in? Because I talked too much junk in my past life. I had to show God I really meant it. It's never a part of he doesn't want to bring it. It's a matter of we got to show him that we want him. We got this whole thing in reverse. He's always wanting to bring his presence. It's the way we've lived our life. Come on, somebody. I'm not the only one who was a heel. Talking about this last night, too. You know, y'all hear me say this stuff. You don't really understand what I'm saying to you. Okay, I was a heathen. So let me define it for you so you understand. When I kept Christmas, I put a sun disc on the top of the tree. I didn't put something that wasn't supposed to be a sun disc on there that really is a sun disc, but I didn't know any. No, you're not getting me. I put a sun disc on my Christmas tree on purpose because that's what the tree is. And the seven-headed snake and the pyramid, I was a heathen. I did not put symbols on my tree that are pagan that I didn't know. No, I put real pagan symbols to be a pagan on the pagan tree. So when I come to God, I have to work a little harder to get into presence because I got to show God I'm being real with him. God is always being real with you. The problem is we're not being real with God. We come in playing God like we play everybody. And he don't play. You don't get to put on the mask and be fake with God. You got to come real with God because he's real. Verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Okay, that's what the people are like outside. Come on, let's face it. We live in this world. That's what the people are like out there. I watch a little bit of TV. I've seen commercials for some of these video games. You can't tell me that this is not what's going on out there. I see how people act on the commercials for a lot of shows I will not watch. This is how stained they are now. This is how we were when we came in. We're still washing some of this stain off of ourselves. Come on. Come on, it's a church. All of us have borne these stains. All of us are not done yet washing this junk out of our life because this is the way we were when we came in and we're a little better, but we still need plenty of Tide and bleach. Come on. Come on. When people come to us, this is what they need help overcoming. So, okay, when people come in, we've got to be the help. But some of them aren't going to be willing to endure the cure. You can't help them if they don't want to be fixed. Some people come in like this and they want to stay that way. But they used to going to churches where it's okay for them to stay that way. And they don't like it when they come into church that requires them to change. We have to be the church that requires them to change. You can't come in this way, stay this way. Because that doesn't make it church anymore. If you look around and you see how few of us there really are, every one of us is precious. When a prospector is panning for gold, he goes through a lot of sand. Does he care about the sand? No. He only cares about the gold nuggets, right? We're going to go through a lot of people, y'all. They're great folks. God loves them. Now may not be their time. What we do may not be their deal, right? We can't worry about them. We got to be looking for the gold. Only be worried about the gold. If they're not willing to grab a hold of a Torah observant life, if they're not willing to receive Holy Ghost baptism, and they're not willing to use Hebrew roots, if they're not willing to do all of this so they can have a God encounter, then they're not really for here. And we need to let them just come on through and go on out. Just like a man sluicing for gold. Come on. A lot of sand goes through that sieve. A lot of sand goes through that sieve. Nobody cares about the sand. They only care about the gold nuggets. Your gold nugget. You care about another one like yourself. Why? Because people that come in here and will not live and will not change and want to be this in the church and playing up in the house of God are going to impede the encounters for those who want them. You can't have folks up in here having affairs, working on the Sabbath, not praying in tongues and talking against it. You can't have all that going on. You just can't. And every time we have people come in, everybody's like, oh, this person's leaving. Hey, oh, great. I don't want anybody to leave. I prayed dearly for everybody that's been here. I prayed for a lot of folks that's left. Why? What do I pray for them? Like I said, I pray for them to encounter God. You know, I can teach you a certain amount of things. I can bring you a certain part of the way. The rest of it's up to you. But I know one thing. Once you encounter the living Jesus Christ, there ain't much I have to teach you after that. There's just not a whole lot I have to teach you after that. Because once you encounter God, no one is going to be able to pull you out of here. No one's going to be able to pull you out of the Word. You're going to be devouring this like a crazy person.
Right.
Once you understand the need of praying in tongues, you're going to want to pray in tongues all the time. You don't care if people look at you in your car and think you're nuts. It's okay. You ain't be praying away in the car. Problem is the traffic interrupts that because somebody do something stupid and then it just breaks the whole thing. But you're going to want to pray in tongues all the time once you understand. Getting a new person only matters if they're willing to follow the program.
Amen.
Torah observant, spirit filled with Hebrew roots. People don't want to live this way of life aren't new people. They're impediments to God's presence.
That's right.
I wished it was not that way. Go back and study the rules for the temple. You didn't get in.
No.
You didn't go in.
No.
Anybody who could impede the presence of God was not even allowed on the mountain. Forget about up in the courts. Forget about going inside the gate.
Right.
If you weren't a Levite, you're not going in the gate. Guess what happens if you try? They kill you at the gate. Dead. Sword. Through your head. Gone. Haul you off. You know where they hauled you? They hauled you in the valley where they dumped the offal and the skins. That'd be a great way to die, right? Hit with the cut with the sword and then dumped in with the trash. I mean, that's just some bad. They didn't care. All that mattered on the Temple Mount was the presence of God coming down.
Hallelujah.
Now look, we're not going to kill people when they come in the gates. We're going to love them. We're going to hug them. We're going to offer them refreshments. We're going to give them materials. But let's just face it, people that aren't willing to encounter God, don't cry when they leave. You do your best to bring them to the truth. You do your best to get them Holy Ghost baptized. You do your best to get them to where they want to encounter the living God and to have that great God encounter. And after that, that's all you can do. If they're not willing, look, it's a two-part process, right? First, you come in and you have no idea what's going on, so you got to be instructed. You got to be instructed in godliness. Doesn't matter what. There's a lot of people come in Holy Ghost baptized, they got to be instructed in Torah. Some people come in Torah observant, they got to be instructed in Holy Ghost baptism, right? You got to have a certain amount of instruction so you can even know how to come in this worship service and worship. See, y'all, I've been traveling a lot, right? Y'all come in on Sabbath, and it's just kind of automatic for you, right? You just come in. Yeshua's already here. You have the great worship. The power is amazing. You get on your face, and you have this great Holy Ghost experience. It's wonderful, right? It ain't like that when you go traveling. You go up to some other city and set up the sound in the jam box. It ain't like that. It ain't like that. It's music in an empty room. Come on. It's a real sacrifice to go traveling. I don't just want to be gone. I'd rather send you and I stay here. It's a sacrifice. Lose your Sabbath a couple weeks and you tell me how much sacrifice it is. Come on, somebody. I've been gone how many weeks now? Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. Now, for those of you in Murfreesboro and Athens, we love you dearly. We will have this there if you stay sound. But you see, there's an anointing that comes from having a certain number of spirit-filled people praying in tongues.
That's right.
There's a stronger anointing that comes from a certain number of Torah observant spirit-filled people praying in tongues. There's an anointing that breaks open when all of these hearts are opened up and this worship takes place in the Spirit of God that's not there when that's not going on. People have never done it before, don't know how. It takes them a little while. Ephesians chapter 5. See, without obeying God's commandments, we're nothing. And if you don't obey God's commandments, you're nothing. Verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Doesn't matter what kind it is. It just doesn't matter what kind it is. I don't care if you got a shack up, honey, or you're queer. This does not matter what kind it is.
That's right.
Not even a hint. Not even a hint. First thing to run the Spirit of God out of the house is sexual immorality. First thing to run the Spirit of God out of the house. So what? You can't have none of that. If you can't control yourself, get married. Now, that brings its own set of problems, doesn't it? That brings its own set of problems, doesn't it? Come on. Come on, wives. It's your time to speak up. Come on. You know husband ain't what you wanted. Come on. Come on. Don't lie in church. It's Sabbath, man. Brings its own set of problems, doesn't it? Or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. That's stout stuff. That means you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. That means when the rescue comes, you get to stay behind. That means when the kingdom comes, you stand outside and watch. You can't have that up in the house of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. They don't like to talk about God's wrath in church anymore. Well, would you rather have somebody give you a heads up so you at least got a chance to get right? Or would you rather just go on all fat, dumb, and happy right on into wrath and find out the hard way? There are a lot of pastors. People are going to want to beat them down like a wet mule, man. I'm telling you what, because the pastors ain't telling folks right, and they living stupid, and then when the wrath comes, they're going to be looking at pastors. Because let me tell you something. God don't care, okay? When you've been living wrong and ugly, he doesn't care what your pastor said. He gonna kick your butt. He is not gonna spare. He does not care what your teacher taught you. You got a Bible. You didn't do it. He's kicking your butt. And let me tell you something. He's done with sin because he's suffering his body, and he don't mind whooping your tail a bit. Everybody wants this mamby-pamby, lightweight God. He's already been here and paid the freight. He's not coming back to do that. He's coming back to even the score. So guess what? You took the blood, you get right. If you don't get right, you're going to get whooped. Let no one deceive you with empty words. If you don't keep the commandments, you're nothing. So don't talk to me about love. People always go, oh, pastor, you got no love. Don't talk to me about love. Because they don't understand what love is. Love is you keep his commandments. That's what love is. Love is you keep his commandments. You don't keep his commandments, you ain't got no love in you. When people tell me about love, you know what their main goal is? You got to accept this person the way they are without requiring them to change. You have to conform to God's law. That's love. And I'm willing to take the heat for it. Why? Because you know what? Those of you who listen to me are going to come up to me in the kingdom of God with tears in your eyes telling me how much you love me. And those of you that won't listen to me are going to be kicking yourself and cussing your own self for not having listened when you're in the tribulation. It's going to be that simple. It's going to be that simple. When you're going through the mess, you're going to be saying to yourself, if only I'd have listened to that crazy pastor, I wouldn't be in this right now. Go, you'll know. Oh, you will know. Putting people above God by annulling his commandments to love a human being is idolatry. It's idolatry. So that takes the person you're, quote, loving by annulling God's commandments, and that puts them in the wrath of God. And you, the believer who does that, you're putting yourself in the lake of fire. You hear me? That's like a fire. When you annul God's commandments to love a human being, you're putting yourself in the lake of fire, which is permanent, eternal judgment, no return. Don't do that. I'm not going to go to John 14, verse 21. It says, loving him is keeping his commandments. No commandments, no love for God, period. God uses carrots and sticks. The prophets are the sticks to get you in line. The carrots are the mercies when they do their job. Too often the mercies want to say, oh, that mean old prophet, you know how they are. No, the mercies need to be coming behind the prophets and going, now look, God loves you. And if you'll just take this word to heart and follow it, you will be accepted too. The mercies need to be backing the prophets up and giving the people the encouragement to take the action that the prophets have just laid down the law over. Come on, somebody. That's a body working together. That's a body fitly joined together and everybody doing their service. Amen. The intercessors, when they get the word of God and they see how the people are bowing up, okay, that's your prayer list this week. Okay, this one bowed up, this one bowed up, this one bowed up. I'm putting the binding and loosing prayer on them so they'll get right. Amen. We will pray behind your back. I can't say will. I have prayed behind your back. But hey, that's the whole purpose of it, right? Is to get everybody in a place where they can have that great God experience. 1 John chapter 2. Now look, I don't mean by every man-made rule of the Torah terrorist, okay? We do our best to protect you from the Torah terrorist and the Sabbath police. And some of y'all have fallen into their prey from time to time. Had a story going around in this church right here. Somebody was told they couldn't wash their dishes on the Sabbath. Well, let me just square it up for you. If your dishes come from Tuesday, they stay in the sink. If the dishes come from Friday night, you can wash them and put them away before you go to bed. You can clean a Sabbath day's mess on the Sabbath. Don't be doing your work from all week. You hear what I'm saying? If you didn't wash your dishes all week, leave them alone. But you can clean up a Sabbath day's mess. You can change a flat tire. You're going to church and you forgot to get gas in the car. You don't have to go back home and wait. You can get gas in the car and go to church. Use some sense. God is not crazy. God is not stupid. God did not tell you stuff that's weird and extreme. God gave you rules for human living. Do your best to do them. You're living in an age of grace. Come on. Now, let's talk about work. If you're a nurse and there's a natural disaster, get your butt down there to triage and you help those people. Okay, if your boss screws up the schedule, you carry your tail on to church. That ain't an emergency. Oh, man, you're a debt collector. You don't need to go to work at all on the Sabbath. There's no emergency for you. You're a debt collector, man. You're like your daddy. You a tax collector. That's bad. Okay, I'm a janitor, and I had a water pipe bust that had 2 inches of water on the floor. Okay, I went down and got the water up. I didn't do any more than that. We did the rest of it after sundown, but I did get the water up. That's an emergency. That's an emergency. If you have an emergency, you do what's got to be done. If you don't have an emergency, don't try to pass it off as one. If you're not willing to keep the Sabbath, just say it. No cow manure. Just be. Look, you can't come to repentance as long as you're lying to yourself. So don't lie. If you're just being stupid, then just go ahead and fess up. Then we'll work on you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You have an anointing from the Holy One. There's certain things we got to teach you to get the truth in you, right? They know the truth. The anointing doesn't give you the truth. We give you the truth from the Word of God. But once you have the anointing, I don't have to sit here and teach you every single thing because you're going to be digging it out.
That's right.
The anointing. Some of y'all will be surprised to know that I taught Kelly very little of our doctrine. I taught Kelly very little. Actually, it got to be kind of a thing with me. That I would just take him in the holy place on Friday night Shabbat and just see what God would give him. And I thought, you know, down the road, I'll teach Kelly stuff. But then it just like, no, let's just see what God tells him this week. Oh, let's just see what God tells him next week. I didn't tell him hardly anything. I didn't. Lanisa tell you, I didn't. We just kept going in the holy place on Friday nights, and God kept telling him everything. I didn't tell him nothing. Did I? I don't think we talked about anything. We talk about after you got it. We go through the verses after the Lord told him. That's what I mean. Once you encounter God, everything changes. Nothing's the same. I won't have to tell you all the little things. I don't got to go through telling you how to behave and how to act and what to do, because once you encounter God, it's just an internal change that takes place in you. Because you see, it goes from I want to be blessed to I want to bless Him. I want my life to be a reflection of His kingdom. I want my Father in heaven to be glorified by the way I go to work and the way I drive my... No, I can't say that. The way I wash the car, the way I tend the yard. Hey, I have my shortcomings too, right? I mean, I've never stood up here and told you I was a perfect man. I have plenty of shortcomings. And Kyra will be happy to fill you in after service. I mean, I have plenty of them, right? And you know, I was thinking about that too one day. God is not looking for perfect people. We always try to achieve some level of human perfection. God wants obedient people, not perfect people. God wants Holy Spirit baptized people, not perfect people. We're going to continue to make mistakes. We're going to continue to sin all the way out. The two loaves on Pentecost are baked with leaven in them, and that represents sin, because God is showing you that with your best efforts, you are not going to get clean as He wants you. That clean is, you know when that clean comes? When He transforms you in the twinkling of an eye. That's when you...
Woo! Hey!
God's expecting you to do what you can do. Everybody's wrapped different in here. Some of y'all are wrapped a little tighter, and some of us ain't wrapped worth a flip, and some of us can do it and some of us can't. I happen to be one of the ones that's never going to get a whole lot further than I am right now. Oh, that just disappointed Lanise so badly. But I know where I've been. I know the pit that I was pulled out of. And for those of us that have been in a pit, we shout a little louder sometimes, because we know where we've been. Verse 26, the anointing. You don't get the anointing before you get Holy Ghost baptized, y'all. This is a man that prays in tongues. This is a man that prayed in tongues in the book of Acts in chapter 2. He's telling you what he knows. There's a Holy Ghost baptism component that you cannot pull out. I'm writing these things to you. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received... Okay, people are always going to come in and give you strange doctrine. People are always going to come in with some kind of weird thing. Someone's always going to have it close, but not quite. And the Holy Spirit anointing is what allows you to discern. Without the Holy Spirit, look, I've seen solid people in the truth their whole life pulled out over something stupid. Why? Because they refused Holy Ghost baptism. You got to have it. It's not optional. Just like you're nothing without keeping God's commandments, you're blind as a bat without the Holy Ghost baptism. And you can't ever have sight in the Spirit. You will never see Jesus without the Holy Ghost baptism. Because you're not going to see Jesus in the flesh, you're going to see Him in the Spirit. Y'all will get that in a minute. His feet are not coming back to planet Earth until He returns to rule. He's going to come in the clouds to pull people out. He doesn't come back to Earth to pull people out. He only comes back to Earth when He's going to set up His throne, kill all the Amalekites, and rule. Okay? You're never going to see Jesus in the flesh, because His flesh ain't going to show up here. The Word of God will not be broken, not even for you.
That's right.
So you're going to see Him in the Spirit.
That's right.
And if you're not Holy Ghost baptized, your spirit eyes aren't open so that you can. You're going to see Him in the Spirit. Now look, I spent a ministry going through verse after verse after verse in the book of Acts showing how people saw the Lord.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. Paul, I'm as one untimely born. He went to Arabia, Mount Horeb, and spent 3 years getting taught the gospel by Jesus. No, I didn't go to Jerusalem. My gospel was not made up by any man. Nor did I go to those who were in this before me. No, I went to Arabia where I got taught one-on-one by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, when you've been in His presence, it changes everything. All the things that were important before you see Him are not important at all. Once you've seen Him, you just want to serve Him.
Yes.
What can I do for you today, Lord? You're not coming and beggaring Him all the time. I'm not saying don't make your request be known with prayer and thanksgiving and supplication. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the change that takes place in your heart and mind that goes from gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, to Lord, Lord, what can I do for Thee today, Lord?
Amen.
There's a whole difference.
Amen, it sure is.
It's a whole difference. Loyalty. Let's talk about loyalty. After you've seen Him, sworn to Him, the one true and only God, loyal to only others as they can meet that criteria. It's just not possible. Because once you've sworn yourself to His oneness, there can be no other loyalty. There can be no other loyalty. How can you be loyal to anybody else when they run astray from God? You can't. You're sworn to Him and Him alone. We can't push people to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, but once they receive it, the anointing will keep them in the truth after we first deliver it. A life without the truth that every human being has to obey God's commandments is flat not worth living. A human being without the baptism of the Holy Spirit will have an extremely hard time encountering the living God.
Yes.
If you go through the Hebrews roll call of faith, you'll see that every one of them had the Spirit of God.
That's right.
I'm just saying. You know, Holy Ghost baptism is your key to seeing John. 1 John 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. John is not saying that once you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you'll never sin again. John is saying that the life defined by sin will be over. Sin will not rule your life anymore. Once you're Holy Spirit baptized, you're going to want to start complying to everything you read in the Bible. That's why it's so dangerous for Holy Spirit baptized people to be taught that the law is done away with. Redefining sin in their own image is going to kill a lot of people. So don't be mad at me when I won't redefine it for you.
Amen.
Don't be mad at me when I hold up that standard right there and refuse to budge. Don't be mad at me. Because that's going to save your life. That's going to save your life. The wrath of God is coming. The tribulation is about to break out. You do realize in 2014, every man, woman, and child in the United States of America is going to be chipped in your right hand. You realize that, right? It's in the healthcare law. You don't get a choice. There's not a choice about it. You don't get a choice to be in the healthcare system in 2014. You're required to be in the healthcare system in 2014. You're required to be chipped in your right hand or your forehead with a microchip with all of your health information in it. They'll give you what they want you to have, and you won't be able to refuse it. You realize that, right?
Wow.
That's how close you are. So I'm going to hold to the standard. I'm Holy Ghost baptized to give me the dunamos, to hold to that standard, the power of God to hold to His holy righteous. I will not deviate. I can't deviate. And some of y'all, when you get this message and you really think about this and it meditates down in your spirit, you're going to realize, I am so happy I've got a pastor who will not flinch.
Amen. Thank you.
I will not flinch.
Bless you.
That's the most important thing I can do for my congregation, is hold to this standard and not flinch. People get mad at me all the time when it's something they want to flinch on. You have no love. Got more love than all of those lovey pastors combined, because I'm willing to hold you to the same standard God is, so that you can stand on the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Think about that one. So you can stand on the day of Jesus Christ. John 4, 24. Father seeks worshipers in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God without the commandments, because that's the truth. In order to access the heavenly realms, you've got to be walking in the commandments. People get mad at me all the time, but I got one I want to break. Well, that one that you want to break is what's keeping you from getting in. Doesn't matter which one it is. They're not weighted. I got 10 minutes? Okay. Worship has to be done with the Spirit of God. Worship has to be done with the Spirit of God. If you're not Holy Ghost baptized, you don't really have the capacity to pour the worship out. Worship is a spiritual thing you do from inside your heart. Worship has to be done by the Spirit. And that word in the Greek is pneuma. And it means the exact same thing the Hebrew word ruach means. It means that intangible part of a human being that can make contact with God. I did take the time to look it up many times. The spirit of a human being inside of you is not just there to give intellect to your processor. It's there so that you can have contact with the only true and living God. Every single human being is created with the capacity to make contact with God. And let me tell you something. It's live on the other end. The problem is it's not live on our end most of the time. We're not willing to make contact with Him. Why? It goes back to the garden. When they sinned, God didn't hang up on the other end. They hung up. When we sin, we hang up. He doesn't hang up His end. His end is always live. It's us that makes the decision we don't want Him. He doesn't ever make the decision He doesn't want us. It's live. Worship is something you must consciously do with your human spirit. And it's hard to do until you get the Holy Ghost baptism, because when you have the outpouring of His love into your heart, it opens the way for you to have access to Him on an easier, greater, more powerful, stunning level.
Yes.
Romans chapter 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He pours His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, verse 5. He pours it out. You can't summon the love sufficient to love Him except He first pours it into your heart. How does He do that? Through the Holy Spirit. The love that we need to access the Father does not come from human emotions. It's not the touchy-feely emotion that we all talk about. Love, and then I let you get away with whatever. That's not love.
Nope. Not at all.
The love He's talking about is agape love. It is the determined decision of your will. Strong will is one of the greatest things any of us will ever possess. Once we make the determined decision of that will to love our God in obedience through His Spirit. Once we come to that place. So the determined decision of your will to obey God and to consciously use His Spirit to call upon the name of the Lord. One day I will give that message on the name. God is real. If you never learn anything else from me, learn that. God is real. He's alive. He is a sentient, intelligent being looking to communicate with you at all times. There's no silver bullet. There's no magic formula. There's no sacred name you can use to access the Ancient of Days. He's given you a spirit that you use to access Him. And when you get baptized in His Spirit, He opens up the floodgates. Come on, y'all. It's the difference between a dial-up connection and broadband.
Amen.
Come on, we living in a different world, right? I mean, when you just got the human spirit of man, you're on a dial-up connection. When you get the Holy Ghost baptism, you're on broadband. You can download some stuff now, baby.
Amen.
Try downloading on AOL on a dial-up and see what happens. You'll shut that computer down. He's the sovereign God. He is the majesty on high. He responds to those people who will consecrate their lives in true humility by living His commandments. Not the false humility of pretending and acting out in front of folks. When you live His commandments, you're showing Him the true humility.
Amen.
He responds to those who seek Him with His Spirit. It's His Spirit. And when you seek Him with it, He responds. He answers those who've accepted the sacrifice of His only Son for the forgiveness of their sins. He will most graciously allow into His presence those who fully open their hearts to Him. This is a very simple formula. It's so easy. And look, you know what separates true science from pseudoscience? True science can be replicated by anybody who follows the procedure.
That's right. That's true science.
If you consecrate yourself by living His commandments and humble yourself by obeying Him, if you'll seek Him, His face, with His spirit that He put inside your body, He will most graciously allow you into His presence. It does not matter what your name is. It does not matter where your family came from. He will do this for each and every human being that draws breath, because you are a unique individual creation of His. God is real. He's being real with us. We have to be real with Him. No mess, no foolishness, no games. We come clean, we obey, we open up to His Spirit. We worship Him with His own love, and we will encounter the presence of the living God.